Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. What you often find is when the church's theology begins to fall apart, when the church's theology begins to disintegrate, it's neglected, then so is its worship. The two go together. There is a direct connection between the life of God's people in worship and the life of God's people in what they believe, teach, and confess. And it can be tracked, especially in the Old Testament. In fact, it's very easy to track in the Old Testament. When the people were faithful, their worship was faithful. When the people weren't, well, in some cases, the temple literally started falling apart. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on this Wednesday afternoon, the 11th of July. We're going to talk about Joash repairing the temple. Well, just a while ago, we were talking with Pam about the temple being built. Why did it need to be repaired? Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Hello, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. It wasn't good that long ago that you and I were talking about the building of the temple, and it really covers a number of chapters, and the details are amazing. How is it that today we come to a story where the temple is in need of repair?
Well, that's a great question. I think it was just last week, maybe, or a week before. And this summer series in Growing in Christ is about vocation. And so the stories are kind of picked all throughout Scripture with that theme of vocation in mind. And so we have a second temple story, you're right. And this is the story of Joash. Sometimes, like in the ESV, it's Jehoash. Same person. He ascended the throne of Judah at the age of seven, so he was a boy king, which is one of the reasons the editors picked this story, because it's about a boy who became the king, and he was on the throne for 40 years. But by the time that he had gotten to that and ascended the throne, a lot of time had passed since that temple was built, and there was some wicked leadership that looked away from God and from the house of David, and so the temple really had fallen into disrepair, and there was not much care for it, and it needed repair, and that's where we are today. We have this new king. He's 7 years old, and he has a godly high priest that serves with him, under him, Jehoiada, and he is the one who anointed this boy king. He helped to secure the throne for him, and he becomes a counselor and a mentor for this king, and really was with him until he died. And then the king, we see how much of a mentor this high priest was, because when the high priest died, the king slipped away from the Lord, but that's much later and not part of the story. This is really about how God used this boy king to fix the house of the Lord, to fix the place where God would dwell with his people, because it had not been cared for. And so in that we have another lesson about vocation, not just the king or the high priest, but even those who would do the repairs.
One of the things that this shows, especially this 12th chapter of 2 Kings, is that these things don't happen without the resources. He in essence, has to see to paying for these repairs, because it doesn't come cheap. The building of it wasn't cheap, that's obvious, and the repair isn't going to be cheap. Talk about the thing that we often don't want to see together, and that is the church is supposed to be a place where money doesn't matter, but you got to pay the bills.
Well, that's right. That just is really loud and clear here, because he instructs the priests to actually to take part of the people's payments. The people regularly were making payments for vows and sacrifices, and that's actually also the money that the priests lived off of. It sort of took care of the day-to-day business. It was the offerings that people brought, and this king said, now you need to take part of that money and use it to repair the temple. And the priests didn't do that, partially because they needed the money to just sustain the work they did, to sustain their living, and perhaps maybe because they just didn't want to do what they were commanded to do by the king. And so what happens is, after 23 years with no repairs to the temple, the new king and his high priest, Jehoiada, they take a collection box. They say, you know, we're going to handle this. And they take it into their own hands. They put a collection box in the temple so the people of Judah can make voluntary contributions for repairs and be in addition to what they're already, you know, doing in their offerings. And the text tells us that the people responded in generous ways. And they were able then to pay the workmen who oversaw the repairs of the temple, and they were able to pay for the supplies and for the laborers. And then it even talks about these workmen and how honest they were. And then that the priests were able to continue to live off of the sin and guilt offerings that were a regular part of what the people gave. And those weren't needed then to put into the repair fund. So really you have a kind of a double collection going here, a special collection for the fixing and repairing of the temple, separate from, you know, what we might call budgeted expenses. This was over and above that. And the people gave.
So this raises another question, not only with regard to money, but with regard to, I guess we'd call it bricks and mortar nowadays, that that these things are also, it used to be that especially in Western Europe, Christians would spend generations building a house of worship. The great cathedrals of Europe were not built in a day or even a year or even a decade. Many decades, sometimes exceeding centuries, to build these great buildings, and at great cost too. Literal bricks and mortar, stone and glass and all of these things. What does it mean that the church actually establishes a physical presence, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the world, and isn't just free-floating out there with no place to call home?
I think it's just an incredibly important thing, and obviously so, because God had set this up for his people. When they were traveling, they had the moving tabernacle, you know, in the tent, and they would set that up each place that they camped. But once they were given their land and their place, then the instruction to build a temple, and you bet, bricks and mortar. This was a big, strong, massive structure, and a permanent type structure. And that tradition continued into the early church once they outgrew the house churches and it was legal to be Christian. Then you see these houses of worship being built and in city centers and in places where people would gather, and that continued through the Middle Ages and, like you say, the great cathedrals of Europe and even, you know, into our modern era. And it provides what we need as created beings. God knows this. We need things that we can see and touch. We're and know that this presence is real. What do we know today? In the Old Testament, they knew that God was there. They made their offerings. That's where they went to receive forgiveness and to meet with God in his presence. They were in the temple. The same is true for us today. We come to the house of God. He's promised to be there. He's promised to be there in his word that is preached, in his sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper, in the absolution of our sins that we repent of in his house. And it's a physical place, a sacred space, a holy ground that we can come to. And in the challenges, the trials, the travails of life, when everything is so uncertain and everything is so worldly, these sacred spaces give us a place to physically go, to get out of this life, to enter a bit into the heavenly realm, to be with our God, a place that is for us to be with Him. And I think it's incredibly important, and I was just talking to someone today about the cathedral here in St. Louis, the Catholic Cathedral. It took 70 years to build. They finished it, you know, maybe 10 years ago, but that took generations, and it was built in that same order of this is a place of God, and it's worth of the effort, the expense, the time that it took, and it has become quite an amazing place for people to go and be with God.
Now, you mentioned before in telling the story, I think you mentioned this, that the workmen who were working on this repairs, the ongoing repairs of the temple, the maintenance, so to speak, that they were honest. They were so honest that there was enough money for everybody. Talk with about a minute here or less before we take our break. Get us started on honesty in our vocation. It's about 30 seconds before we have to break.
Well, you know, our vocations and our lives really, they flow out of what God has told us. We serve our neighbor in those, and He's given us the Ten Commandments. And, you know, the second table of the law helps us see how we're to be towards our neighbor. And honesty in that, and not stealing, not taking more than we deserve or more than we're owed, and being a worker who provides work for the agreed-upon wage and doesn't cheat the master or the employer by slacking on the job. There's all kinds of ways to cheat and steal.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We'll pick up right there on the other side of the break, talking about Joash repairing the temple and honesty in our vocations on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 11th.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
The latest Issues Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
By grace I'm saved.
Grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In our weekly conversations with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on these Sunday school lessons, we're actually following a Sunday school curriculum. It's called Growing in Christ. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. And what makes this curriculum for Sunday school unique is that it is a Christ-centered curriculum. Look at this. This is gathering an offering for the repairs of a temple, and it has some modern-day applicability. Does it say anything about Jesus Christ? One of the things we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. This Sunday school curriculum covers that in each and every lesson. That's why it's called Growing in Christ. Old Testament, New Testament, it points toward Christ and his saving work. You can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and they will send you free samples of Growing in Christ. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, before the break, you got us started on the notion of honesty in our vocations. And it sounds like, from what you've said before there, that the reason the Christian can deal honestly in his vocation, whatever it may be, is an issue of faith in God. Not so much, I'm just going to be honest for honesty's sake. Talk about that.
Well, that's right. Of course, the law calls us to be honest, but we are free to be honest. And not to steal from our employer or slack on our job, because our Heavenly Father has done so and continues to promise and deliver on that promise to provide for us all that we need. We don't have to worry how to get what we deserve or take for ourselves, because we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who created us, who richly and daily provides all that we need for this body and life. And he's shown that he goes the whole way in that, not just providing house and home, wife and cattle, field, children, all of those things that we talk about in the small catechism, but he has done it by providing for our greatest need, and that being his son, who became one of us, who came to be among us and to take on our sin and to suffer and die on the cross to pay for our sin, to pay our debt, so that we could live forever and have the riches and the life with God in heaven for eternity. And so we have freedom to live in service to our neighbor, to do our jobs to the best of our ability, whatever that is, using all the gifts God has given us, not because we must, but because we can. We've been blessed to serve our neighbor, and we do that in the confidence that God's going to make sure that we're taken care of and provide what we need and provide the gifts we need. You know, those jobs you get in work where you think, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get the other end of this. I'm not going to make it through the week, or I'm going to accomplish this task that my boss gave me. And our God, our loving Heavenly Father, goes with us all the way, and he gives us the gifts, the abilities, the co-workers, the team that we need to get things done. And in spite of our broken world, in spite of our sinfulness, and he blesses our efforts, he blesses our work, as we serve our neighbor and do the things that he's called us to do in this life, at home, at the workplace, in school, on the playground field, all the places where God allows us to be in this world.
As important, as central as the temple was that God appointed for his presence among his gods, among his people, his activity of continuing to forgive them through the blood sacrifice there, and as important as maintaining the temple was in the story that we've talked about here, this temple that Joash is repairing will be destroyed. Another one will be built, and it will be destroyed. And all of them are pointing forward to their fulfillment in Christ. How does that work with a few minutes here?
Well, that's right. When we speak of the Lord's house, it's not the same thing as this physical place that the temple was for the people of the Old Testament, the children of Israel, because we are post God becoming man, God coming to this earth, becoming the God-man, suffering and dying, and once and for all paying for our sins, so that when we come to God's house now, we really come to receive, not to do, not to earn his favor, to earn his forgiveness. It's been earned for us with the sacrifice once and for all of his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again. Our debt is paid. So when we come to God's house, yes, we come with our sin and we confess our sin, we repent of it, but no offerings are made to appease God's anger, to earn his forgiveness. We simply receive what he has gathered there in his gifts to give us, his word that gives life, that gives forgiveness, that pronounces us forgiven and redeemed children of God, receive his sacraments, the baptism, the water poured over us, the Lord's Supper that we take into our mouths, that we chew and swallow and drink, and all of that with God's word, giving us forgiveness, life, and salvation. So it's a much different atmosphere. We don't come in fear and trepidation. We come with our burden of sin. We leave it at the foot of the cross, knowing that it's been paid for. We fill up on the good things, the good gifts that God gathers for us and gives in his divine service that happens when the people of God gather around his word and sacrament, on the word preached to us. And these physical places, these holy spaces, the churches that we gather in the buildings, they give us a place to do that. And, you know, for us, maybe it's a brick and mortar. Some of us have beautiful old churches. We're sending a bunch of missionaries out, and they may not have a building. It might be under a tent or a canopy or a tree at first, or it may be in a very humble, meager structure. But what makes it a place of God and what makes it a place where we can receive his gift is because his word is there and his sacraments are there, and the people of God are gathered around those. And in that, he gives us all that we need.
Now, you just mentioned something, missionaries who go out and do serve often without brick and mortar, but they often are there to plant churches, both the body of Christ, but also the places where the body is assembled around that word and sacrament. There has been a lot of good, positive movement in terms of Witness Mercy Life Together with regard to missionaries lately, hasn't there? Tell us a little bit about that with about a minute here.
Sure. We just finished here at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod orienting for 2 weeks nearly 30 new missionaries that are being sent out by the people of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A number of career missionaries and their families, and then a number of what we call GEO short-term missionaries. They go out for a year to 2 years, and they really assist the partner churches. They assist the career missionaries in doing things like teaching English or building relationships with the people in the community and helping point people to where they can hear the word of God and trying to open doors for them. So we had all of these missionaries and their families here for 2 weeks, helping them with practical things, you know, what it's going to be like when you get to a foreign country, some of the things, the stages you'll go through. But much of that time was rich theological teaching, giving them tools that they can draw on for their own strength, but also for their teaching that they will have opportunity to do in places literally across the globe. And one of the things that is so unique about this orientation and about what we try to provide for these missionaries. You know, we don't just 2 weeks and then they're out there on their own. There's a whole network of support. And at the center of that is the Lord's Word and his sacrament. And it is a priority for us that they have access to a Lutheran altar and pulpit where they can regularly be fed the Word of God and his sacraments, so that they are strengthened to bear witness in the places that they're sent. So this is a very strategic and very important part of sending missionaries. They don't go alone. They go with the entire Lutheran Church Missouri Synod behind them, and we make sure that they are spiritually fed. And there's a link on your website, Todd, that is all about missionary orientation and lists all of these new missionaries by name. They are now in what we call the support-raising phase of their new life and new work, where they will be seeking churches.
About 20 seconds here, Pam.
To visit, to ask for support, both prayer support, but especially also financial support. Once they raise a certain amount, then they actually go to the field and begin their work. And so you have an opportunity, Sunday school teachers, to adopt a missionary with prayer, with letters, with dollars. And take a look at that list. Look where they're going. Maybe this is something your class or your whole Sunday school can do. And then you'll hear from your missionary that you adopt, and you'll hear about the work they're doing all over the world.
Folks, you can find out more about the new missionaries being sent under Witness Mercy Life Together at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Next week, we'll talk to Pam about Joseph the Father. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness Mercy Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, we'll talk about both the General Convention of the Episcopal Church and the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA. Then we'll talk about vampires, blood, and the Bible with Pastor Jeff Graham. Stay tuned for hour two. It starts in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8385. Thanks for your support.